Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League. Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham, Fleck, and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet, and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another episode of Wheel of Dealer Radio, the internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. It's our season preview. We're here to talk about the upcoming 2021 season. And there is, I suppose, a lot to talk about, although, you know, I don't think anyone's terribly excited about it. Before we get started, before I introduce my illustrious co-host, we have a new Twitter account. You can find us at WDR, as in Wheel of Dealer Radio, WDR Podcast on Twitter. Please give us a follow. And if you like us, which you clearly do, give us a five-star review on iTunes. If you give us any less than five stars, I'm inclined to think that you are a hater, as Bomani Jones would say. So with that out of the way, let's get started. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Ben Daniels. Ben, how are you doing?
I am fucking amped.
I can tell.
Season's back, baby.
I can just see you doing lines of cocaine off Ami as you get ready for this to start. And I am also joined by my other illustrious co-host. It's Brian Ashlock. Brian, how are you? Just are you as fucking amped as Ben is for the new season?
No, I've got more of a feeling of like malaise and ennui.
A very Eric Dyer response.
Yeah.
So let's jump in it. I want to talk generally about what you expect out of Spurs. We're gonna drill into some of the minutiae as this conversation goes on, but I kind of want to get your top line opinion. Brian, where do you think Spurs are going to finish the season?
I said I thought we'd finish sixth. We did predictions on cartilage free captain, and so I said sixth, behind Arsenal, actually, which wasn't fun to say. But yeah, I still, just based on where we're at right now, based on the composition of the team as we start the season, I think six, and you know, outside the top four is pretty much where we're going to be.
Ben, where do you think we're going to finish this year?
I had put us at fifth, well above Arsenal, who I think are as much, if not more, of a mess than we are, with a somehow worse coach and a lot of dumb players and a lot of dumb holes in their team. I think if everything goes right and we get a, you know, fully fit Harry Kane for the entire season, no major injury woes, you know, Tanguy Ndombele miraculously finding his way into Jose's good books and playing, like, I think a top four challenge isn't impossible. You know, we saw Leicester crater badly to end the season. Chelsea have done a ton of shopping, but we've all seen what it's like to integrate seven new faces into a team in one summer. It doesn't always go according to plan. That said, I think their faces are much better than the ones that we bought to replace Gareth Bale. So who knows? You know, Man U finished well. Solskjaer is still a fraud. You know, I think they're there to be caught. So, you know, we'd have some work to do to catch up to that tier of clubs who were above us last season, but I don't think it's beyond us by any means. But a lot of things have to go right to get there.
So, Ben, I know there's a lot of factors, and I don't want to overly simplify this conversation, but I'm going to do it anyway. What do you think is the most important thing in terms of how the season's going to go for Spurs, for good or for ill?
I mean, I think, as always, we kind of live and die with Harry Kane. You know, as we were just talking about in our last show about the All or Nothing series, realizing how close we managed to pull ourselves into the top four race before Kane and Sissoko and Son all fell apart and got hurt, you know, if we can get the Harry Kane that was firing on all cylinders at the end of the season for 38 games next year, you know, with a guy like that spearheading your attack, I think Jose's not such a calamitous manager that he can't make that work. But that's just been such a rarity in recent seasons. You know, even if we get Kane firing, how many games can he play? How long before he gets hurt you know, even just to miss a couple games here and there, even if he comes back, you know, firing again, it's just going to be really, really hard.
Even as diminished as Kane's been, he's still scoring around 20 goals a season.
Right. If we get a guy like that, you know, firing, that's enough. I mean, you know, to carry us from chasing sixth to chasing fourth. But anything less than that, I think we're screwed. Barring a nice signing.
Brian, what do you think is going to be sort of the most important factor in where Spurs finish this year, for good or for ill, as I said?
Well, I mean, I think the important factor is just Jose's team selection on a week in and a week out basis. I mean, we've seen, you know, look, Ben hit on injuries, but, you know, we're also just consistently not selecting some of our best players to play. You would hope that the signing of a player like Højbjerg kind of frees you up to do some better things in the midfield, frees you up to play with, you know, a three-man attacking band that has Dele Alli, or a three-man midfield that includes Tanguy and Ndombele. But I just don't know what Jose is going to do or how he's going to manage the team. Also, I think, you know, look, this is a long season that is... It's not a long season. I guess it's a short season, but still has the same number of games in it. And so we have to find a way to manage minutes and get players to recover. And that means that this is even more of a squad management thing than usual. And like, is Jose going to do that? Or is he going to just ride with the same, you know, 13 guys every week? You know, like that's the thing, is like, will we see real rotation? Will we see real opportunities for players? Or will he swap like Winks in for Lo Celso and Mora in for Son, and then, you know, just like that's the change that he makes to the lineup? Like, I think that is going to be key, is how does Jose deal with team selection? How does he put the best team out there? And then how does he manage to rotate that throughout the season?
Well, you know, it's funny, it's a cliche, but in this case it happens to be true, where you talk about a player missed a lot of time last year, and if they can come into the team, it's like a new signing. And if Jose is actually willing to use Ndombele this year, it kind of will be like a new signing, because he played so little last year, and he really could transform that midfield if they found a way to work together and incorporate him as a functional part of our team. I mean, I'm encouraged. We'll get into transfer talk a little later, but I'm encouraged by we're seeing. I mean, you can talk about ITK if you want, but in particular in the press, they're getting much more strident about how Tottenham are convinced that he will settle and this is going to work out and we're going to find a way to get him integrated. There's still some caveats about is Jose impressed, but yeah, I don't think Ndombele personally by himself is going to be the thing that decides our season, but I think he's going to be a big part of it. And is Mourinho willing to use him? And hopefully, you look at the beginning of the year, he's not going to have a choice, because the games are coming thick and fast. I think we've got like 10 games in 2 days, or it just feels that way. But he's going to have to use Ndombele. And if Ndombele can sort of establish himself and get a toehold, then, you know, that might be all he needs to sort of put himself in Mourinho's good graces. You know, now the problem is he didn't look super fit in our preseason matches, which I don't think that's like, you know, we're not making tons of jokes about how he's fat. I think that's just we've got a shortened preseason and he might have had COVID. We're not entirely sure. I just think that's him getting up to fitness. But we'll see.
Greg, our listeners have one question.
And yes.
They want to know, is there going to be an Ndombele in detente?
There is going to be an indentant for Ndombele. Mourinho, you know, he's a master of many languages. He is able to understand the importance of that. It is worth remembering. I think it should be pointed out, as I've said on this podcast many times, I was at the game in Pochettino's first year where Ndombele got rage subbed by Pochettino. It was a game against West Ham. It was right after Ndombele had a couple good games. And I remember there was a lot of discussion on this podcast of like, oh, has Pochettino finally seen the value of Ndombele? And then Ndombele just, I didn't even think it was that dire of a half, but he just did not impact this game against West Ham, and Pochettino rage subbed him. I remember turning to my dad and saying, well, that's probably the last we're going to see of him in a Spurs uniform. And we all thought Ndombele was going to get sold after that first year, and they found a way back. Now, Pochettino does not have a reputation for throwing players to the side in the way that Jose does. But it's worth remembering there was a Dembele detente, and there could be an Ndombele in detente. So here's hoping.
I'm going to reject the whole end detente thing. That whole tangent was stupid.
It's a thing. Ben brought it up. You can't even no-sell it because Ben brought it up, not me. So, you know, you're stuck, Brian.
I can't believe we just spent 2.5 minutes on that. I apologize to everybody.
It was a simple yes or no question, you know, to make fun of.
I just gave the kind of deep analysis that our listeners expect. We said the word end detente
5 times, and that's not even a word. It's not.
You keep saying it.
It is now.
It's not clip. Anyway, but yeah, let's talk about something else. I think the other thing is like we don't know what the squad composition is actually going to be. I mean, we've got a transfer window that runs until I think we've basically got like 30 or 35 days left in the window. Like it's the first or second week of October that it closes. And so you're going to have a good run of games here where, you know, you can still make changes to the squad and you can still bring players in. And so, you know, look, I'm not particularly confident that Spurs will be doing a lot of business like Ben talked about. But
they're going to have to. I don't think they have a choice. Like,
I mean, look, I can't see us making some signing that is like make or break for us being fourth versus fifth or sixth. But like, you know, will we sign somebody that alleviates some of our squad management issues? Yeah, maybe. Like, you know, if we actually get a functional backup striker to deal with, you know, an inevitable Harry Kane injury, or we get, you know, another right back or another left back or whatever the situation may be, we're certainly not getting all three of those. We're probably not even getting two of those. But it's just like, you know, I still think there is like a little bit of business to be done. I just have no idea what it is and what impact it'll have.
I think you're right. I think most of the transfer dealings, I mean, let's talk about transfers now. I think most of the transfer dealings that we're being linked to are mostly depth issues, which I think could prove crucial. And we'll talk about that. But the way I see it, we've been linked with two players that I think could make a real impact, maybe not immediately, but eventually. And I think that is it Daka? Is that how you say his name? Out of Red Bull Salzburg, who would play as a striker slash winger wide attacker, who that might be a bit of a transfer for the future, but I think he's a very exciting young player. And if you're going to back up Kane with someone, I'd rather do it with someone like that. But Milik, who we've also been linked with out of Napoli, is much more of a depth signing, but he could also be an important player for Spurs because he might open up some possibilities. But the other player, I think Daka, I think could really make a big difference. And I think the other player that I'm very excited about is Reguilon, if we can get him in here. I think that is, I mean, that's a guy who I'm not convinced we will, because it sounds like Real Madrid is looking for a buyback clause, which means we're not going to touch that. But if we could get him in here, I mean, that's a left back for a couple of years who we might be able to sell on eventually. I mean, those are the two guys, I think, who could make a big impact this year and also be sort of long-term pieces of the club as opposed to a sort of short-term solution, which I think Milik would actually be if we can sort of eat those wages. I think Alistair Gold reported Milik wants $150,000 a week, which, like, I have no clue what our finances are in this post-COVID, post-stadium world, but I think Milik would be a good short-term solution. But I think those are the guys I'm excited about. As Ben has talked about in recent weeks, in terms of signing guys who could sort of contribute for a few years, I think those are the two that fit that profile. And Milik he's a short-term solution, but I think he's a very good short-term solution.
We're not signing any of those guys, so it really doesn't matter. You know,
I'm not
like,
sure about that.
No, I mean, I look, the price tag on Reguilon is like 30 million. The price tag on Daka is 30 or 40.
If Reguilon's up for 30 million, we should absolutely, especially if we're going to cheap out on striker, we should find a way to pay that. I mean, that's not a lot of money for a starting left back.
I mean, we spent that much money on Moussa Sissoko like 5 years ago. And A, that guy was old. B, that guy sucks. And C, it's Moussa Sissoko. Like, I know finances are tight or whatever, but, like, a guy like that is available. Like, you dig into the couch cushions and you make it work. You know, we're going to be offloading other players. It's like we don't have money. Again, we didn't sign anybody for an entire year. Like, we're one of the top 10 richest clubs in the world. If we can't pull 30 million pounds together,
the thing is, like, you look at some of the striker signings specifically that have been done in the past couple weeks. You took a look at like Ollie Watkins. You look at Callum Wilson, both guys that we were allegedly in for, but just couldn't manage the finances on. And then, like, you're going to tell me that we can now afford Milik and his wage
package? Well, it might be a worry.
Like, there's no way.
I think part of that is, like, they might be willing to pay that for Milik, whereas we're not paying that for Ollie Watkins, if that makes any sort of sense.
Right. $30 million for a guy who had one good year in the championship, or $20 million for Callum Wilson, who's had two serious knee injuries and one good season in the Premier League, like, is different than paying a guy like Milik, who has been excellent. You know, again, has had injury problems himself, which is the only reason he's available in the first place. Or Reguilon, who is just straight up very good and young and, you know, solves our left back situation for the next 5 years. Like, those are the guys now, that, like, yeah, you'd spend the money on.
But it should be pointed out that there are issues with these signings in that it seems like Milik keeps trying to end up at Juventus, which I think if he comes to us, it's going to be because Juventus doesn't want him. And it seems like I said, Real Madrid might be doing some buyback fuckery with Reguilon because they never want to sell a guy who actually becomes good for anybody else. So, I mean, again, assuming that these are just straight up fees we can pay and actually get these guys, we should, like Ben said, especially Reguilon's the one that I would just dig into the couch cushions and, like, honestly, I would just, like, if you just got to put Son up top, I would fuck it. Like, if that's the price I got to pay, I'm willing to pay it, because you get a guy who's going to be starting in the left back for a couple of years. I think that's worth it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the other guy we talked about is Daka from Salzburg, who have apparently already turned down a $30 million bid from Lille.
Maybe. We don't know if that's true or not, but yeah.
Well, no, that is true.
Is it? That's not ITK?
Yeah, no, they tried to spend, they sold Victor Osimhen to Napoli. So this is all part of fucking same transfer merry-go-round. Yeah, that's how you say his name, Brian.
I still can't. I know you're right, but it's just still every time.
So yeah, so they sold him to Napoli, who is now going to move on Milik. But the problem is now Lille, to replace the Seaman, have looked at Daka and had a bid rejected for him. So, you know, for a guy that young in a very third tier league. Even though it's Salzburg, which is a pretty good club, who has pretty good Champions League, you know, record.
He's also in the Red Bull pipeline, which makes you, I mean, maybe that's a mistake, but you there's a certain level of maybe there's something to it with the guy coming out of that system.
Right. Like, yeah, he's probably very good. But the other thing is like, Red Bull doesn't need to sell, because Red Bull probably has plans to funnel him up the ladder to Leipzig before they sell him for a lot more in 5 years. You know, so it's tricky, but we do seem to be hot and heavy for a backup striker. Whether we end up with, you know, the next Callum Wilson or somebody actually very good, I have no idea. But I would be surprised if the window closes without making that move. But who knows?
Do you think we need another midfielder? Lo Celso, it looks like that's the other. I think that's going to be a problem. It seems like, now again, I am having my brain is having a hard time distinguishing ITK from fact, but it does seem like if you read tea leaves, Lo Celso is going to miss some time at the beginning of the year with his groin injury he's been carrying since last year. He hasn't been involved, and I don't think I've seen him in any training photos. I certainly haven't seen him in any of our preseason matches. I mean, and that's fine. I'd rather let him get healthy and drop some shit at the beginning of the year than fuck him up for the entire season. But
yeah, I mean, I think you're probably fine. I mean, that's, you know, one of the reasons you sign Højbjerg is to give you some midfield stability. And, like, yes, you do lose some of the passing that Lo Celso provides you, but if you are theoretically freeing up a player like a Harry Winks from having to do the defensive work in midfield, then maybe he is more of a progressive passer than he has ever shown any inclination to be. Or maybe you play Tanguy and Ndombele more. Or, you know, I don't feel like necessarily another midfield signing is where we should be focusing our energy and our money, because, like, realistically, you've got three good midfielders in Højbjerg, Ndombele, and Lo Celso, and then you've got Winks, who's a good squad player and a competent backup, and you've got Sissoko, who fills a role when necessary. So I don't know that you need necessarily another big name to play there, unless you were able to get, you know, some good deal on a young homegrown guy or something like that. I just don't think that's a beneficial place for us to be spending what limited funds we seem to have.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd love for us to see Sungare on the market for 11 million pounds and say, well, we should just snap that up. And if we don't do the other business that we've talked about, then I would be perfectly happy with us just snapping it up because it's advantageous. And let's be real, we're not going to actually play in Ndombele this season.
I forgot to mention Gedson. Gedson can play in midfield too, guys.
Gedson is our new right back. I'm sorry. And,
yeah, what do you think we are? Pep Guardiola's Bayern? We're just going to convert fullbacks into midfielders? What's wrong with you?
Backup striker and a left back are definitely signings 1A and 1B that we need to make. Anything else, I think, is just going to be opportunistic. I think Kim Min-jae is the other one that we're probably going to do.
No feel for that transfer at all. I feel like a lot of us are just enamored of the idea of signing a guy named Monster, which, like, yeah, I get. I am one of those fans, but I don't know how much it's that and how much this might actually happen. So,
I mean, I think I said this before, but my gut feeling on Monster is that we know we can sign him if we have to, and we're going to spend the next month looking at what other center backs we can get, what the rest of our budget looks like, what else is out there, you know, what's left over, and if nothing else materializes, then we'll snap up Kim, very
Ben, Ben, it's Monster, please.
I'm sorry. But otherwise, we'll look elsewhere. But I think we have Monster in our back pocket. He's a pocket monster, if you will.
God. Ben, go to your room. Benjamin.
That was better than the end day time. Don't.
Benjamin L. Daniels, go to your room.
So for those of you who don't know, Monster is actually what a Pokemon is, an abbreviation.
Stop it. Shut up. Okay. We've talked about where we think we're going to finish in the league, but, like, what would you want realistically? What do you want to see out of this team this year in terms of accomplishments?
A trophy.
I'm talking about a trophy. What I'm trying to get at is, like, what competition do you want to see Spurs target? Because for me, it's the Europa League. Which is a lot, especially given that we got to play like 5 games against FC Tractor.
We should target whichever one we can win. So, you know, League Cup, FA Cup, Europa League, I don't care, whatever.
I think we should punt on the league because we're not going to win the league. And
that seems to be the least likely one, yes.
So, no, but, you know, it's funny. It's like we were just talking about, boy, we have 4 games in the first week. We play Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, like the first week of the season. And when we were talking about this before, Greg, you're like, oh, well, we better fucking punt the League Cup. And I'm like,
I think we need to. Like,
why? We need to win.
Because we're all going to, our players are going to fucking die if we don't do
that. Yeah, but if we punt all, we punt the League Cup because, like, we can't afford the fixture congestion. How long before we're like, well, we don't need the FA Cup. That's bullshit. Let's punt that. Oh, this Europa League is real taxing. Let's punt that. And suddenly we're like, we're looking at, like, our season is hanging on finishing 6th. And qualifying for the Europa League that we're not going to care about another season in a row. Like, we're in these cup competitions. Like, we need to fucking care about them. And, yes, you have to manage a squad and rotate and do all that. But, like, no, I don't want us to be punting anything. I want to walk away. If the only reason we signed Jose Mourinho is to win a fucking trophy, we better leave next season with a fucking trophy. And that, to me, means you cannot punt on any competition. I'm sorry. Like, we have to take it seriously. And yeah, it's going to suck because this season is going to be congested as fuck, which is why we need to make some transfers and reinforce the spot.
It's going to be interesting because it's been a while, honestly, it speaks to how successful we've been, that we've played the sort of dregs of the Europa League. And, like, I keep thinking these games, I mean, maybe they will be. We never seem to have any luck. But I do remember we go play, I think it was Harry Kane's first game, we went and played Shamrock Rovers in Ireland and just beat the ever-living shit out of them. And maybe we're going to... I mean, we should be able to do that in, like, Bulgaria and wherever the fuck else we need to play over the next few weeks. Hopefully, we can rest guys liberally in those games. And on some level, maybe we need these games to get guys, like, up to speed because we haven't had much of a preseason. So maybe it'll work out for us. I'm just very nervous about this level of fixture congestion, even though realistically, we are talking about a lot of teams that we should be able to handle easily. I mean, Leighton Orient, we should be able to beat, or Forest Green Rovers, or whoever the hell the other team we might play in the League Cup is. I mean, these are teams we should be able to beat pretty easily. I mean, our league schedule gets a little hairy after a while, but.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I think, like Ben said, the ultimate goal here is if you're taking the short-termist approach, you need a trophy. And it doesn't matter which trophy that is. I don't care if it's a Mickey Mouse League Cup. I don't care if it's the Mickey Mouse, you know, Europa League Cup. Like, whatever. Just, like, give me some silverware to put in the trophy cabinet at the new stadium.
Flags fly forever, baby.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, it would obviously be great to win an FA Cup. It would be great to win the Europa League. I think those are obviously the two most prestigious tournaments that we are involved in and that we can reasonably win. But, you know, whatever. I don't care. I'll take any of those three. I'll absolutely take a league win, but that's definitely not going to happen. So
I don't know. I mean, I think Phil Foden and Mason Greenwood are going to give their entire squads COVID because they can't keep their dick in their pants, and now suddenly that's two less teams you're competing with. So the league is on.
And Liverpool, all the Liverpool players have asthma, so, you know.
Yeah, we got this.
I mean, Chelsea just have, you know, about $150 million in signings, so they might be hard to overcome. But other than that.
Yeah, Chelsea remembering their Chelsea has been kind of a shitty part of this offseason.
But yet they still signed Thiago Silva, which nobody is making nobody is making Chelsea out to be as dumb as they are for, I think, signing Thiago Silva. Like, I don't get it. He's 36 years old.
What I don't get is they're shopping at, like, you know, like, they're shopping with their, like, platinum black card and, like, the exclusive, you know, wing of attacking players, and then, like, they're going into, like, Kmart for their fucking keeper. Like, it's just very, it's very weird that they're, like, blowing out for it to go get midfielders and attackers, and then it's time to buy a keeper, and it's like, oh, who's good enough for government work out of Europe? Oh, let's go buy him.
Yeah, I mean, so the Thiago Silva signing to me is, like, that is what the Joe Hart signing would make sense as. It's like, you've got a bunch of young center backs on your team. They all are okay and maybe not that great. Get a guy who has been very experienced, who's done it all at a lot of big clubs, you know, played for Brazil, whatever, and, like, teach them how to play center back. You know, be a guy who can organize a back line for them. That, to me, feels like a little useful kind of leadership quality that you want to get from an old veteran, not signing a third-choice goalkeeper. So I do kind of see how a Thiago Silva signing might be beneficial to their stable of center backs. But yeah, their goalkeeper purchases is like, I don't know why they aren't ponying up for a actually legitimate.
Well, I mean, I think we know why, and he's going to be their second choice keeper this year, but it's considering they're burning money like it's going out of fashion. It is a little strange. That's where they choose to cheap out.
Yeah, whatever. If it means that Chelsea have, you know, a ridiculously stacked attack and still concede like 70 goals this season, great. Like, I'm happy with that.
So where do you see, if we're attacking top four, what's the softest point of entry there? I mean, I don't trust Leicester at all. I know they've got a good squad, but I think they're very vulnerable to injury, and I don't trust Brendan Rodgers. I know he's not a bad manager, but I don't think he's that great either.
The problem with that is they're still the fifth place team. So yeah. We still need another soft point of entry.
United had an unbelievable run of luck. I think as good as United could be at times, they had an unbelievable run of luck when everyone came back from the quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, Bruno Fernandes and Mason Greenwood operated at levels that I think are just obscenely unsustainable, and we're incredibly fortunate. But if Man United pull Jadon Sancho out of their ass in the next month, which is not entirely impossible, then I think all bets are off. You know, like, there's no reason that signing can't shore up whatever luck they were riding when you get a guy that good in your team. Again, I think Chelsea just by virtue of having to figure out how to build an attack out of, you know, Ziyech, Havertz, Timo Werner, like all these new guys at once. And, you know, Frank Lampard is still going to bench them for Mason Mount for stupid reasons. Or playing like Olivier Giroud real minutes at the expense of their expensive Bundesliga signings. You know, I think that is the hope, is that they just can't make it click fast enough.
Or the hope. I think Lampard is a guy who down the sort of home stretch of the season didn't do much to distinguish himself. And where I thought much more of Frank Lampard than I thought he was much better than I gave him credit for when last year started. I think at the end of the year, he wasn't doing himself any favors. And what you hope is, what you saw at the end of the year is more the kind of manager he is than the manager you saw at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. So, all that being said, I think fifth is probably like where we get to if everything goes really well. And if everything goes really badly, then I don't want to think about it.
I mean, watching this All or Nothing documentary made me think of, like, it can't be that bad again, can it? Like, I mean, it was just like, we got so unlucky last year. We're due for something to go our way.
Well Greg, I would like to introduce you to Tottenham Hotspur Football Club.
Ah, fair. Good point.
Where,
excellent.
Where it can always get worse.
Yeah, I love this idea that no team could ever have two bad seasons in a row.
Not even that, but it was just, last year was so spectacularly awful. Like,
yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to get that bad for it to still go very badly. Like, there's, you know, the top 10 are all fairly competitive. You know, Wolves were very good last season and now don't have Europa League to distract them. Sheffield United might do another miracle. Arsenal probably will be at least somewhat better. Everton, who we play this weekend, have made some signings that might make them interesting. You know, Southampton, if Danny Ings is going to score 20-plus goals a season another year under their manager, you know, who knows? Like, it's not – the league's not so terrible that it up with even just a normal level of bad season.
So, I don't know. So, there's a lot of teams that could be very bad this year. Not at the top of the league, but a lot of it might be how much can we just roll up points this year against bad teams, which is something that, like – there were periods last year we were very successful at doing this, and there were periods where we were very bad at doing this.
Well, so Ben mentioned Everton right there. So I guess that's if Greg were a good host, that would have been a natural.
You know, I was going to get there, but you know, some people try to step all over my shit.
Fine,
so
fine,
you know,
I'll just do it.
Okay.
And actually, I think Everton are interesting, but also weird and dumb. I mean, they do have they have a lot of money. They continue to spend it
Same way. They keep spending it the same way.
Yes, in weird and dumb ways. But I mean, they do have a legitimate top tier manager in Carlo Ancelotti. Like, he is undoubtedly a great manager and significantly an upgrade over everything they've had.
Manager.
And you know, he's attracted some good talent now. Like, I mean, he's brought in Allen from Napoli. He's brought in James Rodriguez.
You're going to lead with Allen?
Well, I mean, James Rodriguez.
He's going alphabetically.
This is why you're not.
Allen, James, Decore should have been before James.
Yeah, obviously.
Look, I don't really focus on how letters go in order and stuff. But, I mean, I think it's interesting what Everton are doing, because I think they do have some legitimate, interesting pieces. I think Richarlison is a good player. I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin is a good player. And I think, like, if you get a better midfield behind them where you're not playing, what's his name, the blonde guy with the dumb hair?
Tom Davis,
yep. Is it Davis or Davies?
Who could say? But he has incredible fashion sense. I know that much.
Yeah, him and his low socks, like a weirdo. I don't know if you have a functional midfield like that's made up of Decore, Allen, and James.
That doesn't sound super functional.
I know it doesn't, but is that an interesting team? Like, is Hamas like pinging, you know, passes to Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison and what's his name? I'm gonna call him Zaha, but that's not who it is.
Theo Walcott.
No.
Iwobi.
Well, Iwobi's also an interesting piece. Who am I forgetting?
Are you talking about Keane?
No, who am I forgetting?
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Gylfi Sigurdsson.
That's
it, definitely.
Bernard.
Also fine.
I keep naming.
I don't know, but that's what to me.
Fast winger. Who's their other fast winger?
Theo Walcott.
Oh, no.
But I don't know. Everton's sort of transfer haul just feels like more of the same. And maybe it's slightly better than what they usually do. But part of that's because I'm kind of a Hamas skeptic. And admittedly, I'm a Hamas skeptic when you're talking about him at Bayern and Real Madrid. Like at Everton, he's probably above Everton's level. But it just, I don't know. It feels like they're just bringing in players that are slightly better at what they're supposed to do. And they're going to like cobble together a seventh place finish. And Everton fans are going to feel optimistic, but that's about as high as it's going to get. I'm skeptical.
Sure, but I think, you know, if you talk about them cobbling together a seventh-place finish, like, I don't know, we could stumble to an eighth-place finish. So
yeah, the problem for Everton is Leicester has supplanted them in the Premier League, like, ecosystem in terms of where they used to be. Except now Leicester, like, wins leagues and finishes in Champions League spots, so.
I was talking to my brother about Everton, and he described them as an average team who keeps making average signings and being surprised that it doesn't make them above average. And I think James is like really the first time that they've made a signing that looks like they finally figured out what above average looks like.
But that's not what Everton needs to be signing, though. That's the problem. I mean, it's nice, but like
it is. Like, you get a guy like James who could conceivably get you 10 goals and 10 assists, you know, in a full season, playing through balls to guys like Calvert-Lewin, who's fast as shit, and Richarlison, who's a pretty good forward, like, that gives them a functional attack. You know, they were previously relying on Gylfi Sigurdsson, who has only ever been creative from set pieces, and Andre Gomez, who can kind of ping the ball from deep, but isn't actually, like, a creative asset in the final third. And then the stable of guys we all just rattled off at Brian because he can't remember anything. You know, none of those guys are really doing a lot. Like, Theo Walcott is a spent force. Iwobi is, I don't even know if he's good. He seemed like he might almost be for a minute there and then isn't. You know, having a guy like James on this team is the thing that might actually make them into a credible threat, because their forwards aren't guys who can create for themselves. They aren't making their own shots. They're not making shots for each other. They're just guys who want to get the ball near the goal. And James is a guy who allows that to happen. And if he can stay fit and adapt quickly, it can work.
Not something he's got a history of doing a great job of, by the way.
But again, like you said, at Real Madrid and Bayern Munich, yeah, maybe that's not like a situation that he can adapt himself to be like their key player, and that they're going to build a midfield around to like support his weaknesses. Everton doesn't really have a choice, you know, like, I still think their midfield is slight. Allen kind of fell off a cliff at Napoli after being very good for years, but he still brings a lot more defensive ball-winning presence to that midfield that they were severely lacking. Decore sucks.
Not good.
Honestly,
yeah,
like,
not
it's just
good.
Not good.
Honestly, yeah. I want to take this moment to thank Everton Football Club for buying him before we did something stupid like buy him ourselves.
He's the kind of guy who, like, he's a shitty central midfielder, but he scores, like, 5 goals a season. So people look at him and be like, oh, well, he must be good. 5 goals from midfield. That's solid. But, like, he can't actually do anything in midfield. So it's not actually a useful guy to have on your team. But some combination of those two guys and Gomez or Dom Davis, you know, all doing a lot of work behind James and, like, that front three could maybe turn Everton into a team that scores enough goals to win. Again, they have a good manager. They have some good players. But luckily for us, James signed like yesterday. And I assume even if he does get up to full speed, it probably won't be by Sunday. So hopefully we can still take advantage of kind of frail Everton.
So how do you guys feel about Spurs going into this match? Because it sounds like Højbjerg is about as integrated as any player is going to be into any any new player is going to be in any squad this year. Probably about the Doherty's going to be. I mean, I guess yesterday was his first full training session, so maybe not. But, I mean, you know, those guys are at least, like, my guess is Højbjerg will definitely start, especially if Lo Celso's out, which it definitely looks like he is. And I wouldn't be shocked if Doherty starts. But how are you feeling about Spurs going into Everton? Brian?
Yeah, I think I think just based on preseason and who we have in place, I think we're in a better position than they are right now. I think, like you said, Højbjerg gives you midfield stability, and he's played, you know, basically in every match we've had in the preseason. So, he's ready. And Harry Kane played for England a couple times, so I guess he's going to be ready. And, I think aside from Lo Celso, you don't really have any big name players that you're missing.
Aside from our best midfield passer, we don't have any major injuries.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you know, you alleviate some of that if you play Tanguy and Ndombele. But we'll see. Maybe Jose.
Well,
doesn't
that's
do
what
that.
Worries me. Is like from what we saw, and I don't want to read too much into that. But from what we saw in the Reading match, and I don't think it's his fault. I'm not sure Ndombele is ready to start or at least go deep into a match. So, you know, I don't know. That just worries me. And I think that's just a product of the offseason and maybe him having COVID. I'm not sure, but. He didn't look super sharp in that match this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's only really one question mark over our lineup, probably. I mean, I think our back four is going to be, you know, Davis, one of Dyer and Davinson, Toby and Doherty. I think our attack is going to be Harry Kane, Heung-min Son, probably Lucas, could be Bergvine. Either way, it'll probably be fine. And Dele, who has been in really good form in preseason, and we know Jose seems to rate very highly. The question is going to be who partners Højbjerg in midfield, and that's either going to be Winks, Sissoko, or Ndombele. And I hope it's Ndombele, just because I know what he's capable of. Winks may have had COVID as well. We haven't really seen him in a minute. He's returned to training, but who knows what his fitness levels are.
Do not think it's going to be Ndombele, and I don't think that's necessarily Mourinho hating him either. I think it could just be if he is getting up to fitness, let's play him against like fucking, you know, Bulgarian like visa issue FC or something.
Yeah, I'm continually charmed by your Europa League names.
I try,
but so I mean that's the only question. I think whoever it is, we're still pretty well set up to do some damage to an Everton team that it's just not that great and still figuring things out. Now, like, last season, their numbers under Carlo Ancelotti were pretty good. Like, you know, Dominic Calvert-Lewin for a period there was on fire, scoring goals, whatever. And then after Project Restart, he went the entire period without a single goal. So, if he's not back to that goal-scoring form, and Hamas isn't ready to cook, you know, they're slight in attack. Their midfield has issues. Their back line is shaky. Jordan Pickford is a terrible goalkeeper. It's a game that's there for the taking. I'd much rather play Everton this weekend than I would in 6 months, which I know we'll have to, but I think it's good to get them out of the way now. So I'm feeling like 3 points.
Yeah, I agree. I think Ben's right. I mean, to get them now before everybody's bedded in is definitely beneficial. And like I said, you know, I think we're just farther along in our preparations, even if we haven't really seen everybody at, you know, full fitness. We at least have most of the squad in place at this time. So
we have glaring holes, but I don't think they're going to be. I mean, we have glaring holes in terms of depth, and I don't think that's going to be on display for Everton.
Yeah.
What do you think we're going to see? Because we have these Europa League games, we have the League Cup. Do you think we're going to see a heavy helping of youth players, or I mean, do you think we're just going to run some guys into the ground?
I don't think you'll see it in the Europa League because I think, you know, I really do think the pressure will be on Jose to get out of these qualifiers in the Europa League. So I think you will absolutely see players like, you know, like you'll see some rotation. Like if Lucas starts against Everton, then you see Bergwijn instead. Like that's the rotation that you'll see. But I think we'll still see like Kane and Son again in the Europa League. And I think if you see rotation and you see players like a Dennis Churkin or, you know, Tanganga or someone like that play, it's going to be in that League Cup match against whether it's Leighton Orient or Forest Green, whoever it is. I don't know. I really don't think that Jose can afford to mess around with the Europa League right now.
Yeah, I mean, we have to qualify for the tournament proper. That would feel like such a waste. After we fought so hard to achieve a finish and get there in the first place, for it to disappear one Thursday in Bulgaria would be I think not catastrophic, but as close to catastrophic as it can be, not getting into the Europa League.
Well, and it'd just be so annoying if we pulled like a West Ham or Burnley and sent, you know, an entire team of youth guys plus like Gazzaniga or Joe Hart or whatever.
And I honestly think that's the thing that set Tottenham apart from teams like, if you want to go back in the mist of time, you think about the other teams that have like these English teams that fuck around with the Europa League or talk about challenging for the top four. And it's like, you know, Aston Villa or West Ham or Everton. I mean, these are teams that, like, you know, when they do get to the Europa League, Tottenham's the only team that can, like, handle it properly and get out of the group stages regularly. And none of those teams can, I mean, forget about getting out of the group stage. They can't even be bothered to qualify, which is insane, especially if you want to go back to, like, when Villa was regularly fucking around with European spots and when Everton was doing the same thing that, you know, they didn't have I think it's telling that Spurs had the wherewithal to handle it professionally where they couldn't.
Yeah, and I mean, look, we still do have a lot of professional players that we can send. You know, we have four center backs. Juan Foyth is still around. Tanganga is available. Like
Danny Rose,
you can do a lot of rotation and not play a team of youth teamers. You can do a lot of rotation and still give yourself an easy chance or a better chance of winning the match. But like players like a Son or a Lucas or a Kane are still just going to have to play like that because there's not as much depth in those positions.
Yep. And, you know, Kane just loves scoring goals, and especially in the Europa League. And well,
this makes me kind of mad at Gareth Southgate. And I know Gareth Southgate, like, you could put a gun in his mother's mouth and he'd still start Harry Kane, but it's just like we've got all these fucking matches coming up and he's not going to sit Kane for like some dumb fucking nation. Like, who gives a shit about the Nations League? Like, he's not going to sit Kane for these matches when we have 20 games coming up in 2 days. Like, come on. Like, it's so irritating.
Yeah, and it's especially frustrating when England has Tammy Abraham, Danny Ings, Marcus Rashford, who, like, barely got a look in, you know, who are all perfectly capable of leading the line.
And what's Kane going to do? Unlike his club team, Kane can't say, oh, maybe I'll go to Manchester United or whatever. Like, you tell Harry you've got a lot of club games coming up. I want to save your legs. I'm going to play Tammy in this game. You'll get the next start when you don't have 5 games in a week.
I do think, though, it's kind of a problem for the future because Kane hasn't gotten much of a preseason, and getting those games under his belt is probably helpful for his fitness. I mean, you know, he had a okay showing. I think he had 4 shots in his last game. Like, getting
He had a very, very good, would have been a goal at the end of that match. Whatever that match was. Huh?
He should have squared it.
Yeah, oh, is that what he should have done? But it is insane he didn't square that. He did a really good job of running that. I mean, we talked about Kane not hustling all the time earlier last year. I mean, he really did a good job of running that down and, you know, if only for a defender clearing it off the line, it would have gone in. I mean, I don't know. I was very impressed with that effort, at least.
Yeah, so I think it's not all doom and gloom that Harry had to play. I think it will give him a little bit of a platform to go off of for this next week. But, you know, he's just a guy whose minutes we probably have to get better about managing. And
not probably. We do. And that's I am sympathetic to how difficult transfers are, but that's what sort of sucks about us not having that backup striker. Now, it would be really nice to throw them some minutes in these upcoming fixtures. And, you know, like I said, I'm always willing to wait a little bit. And, you know, if you got to throw a few points away to get the right player, so be it. But it would be nice to have that backup striker now.
Yeah. So season's about to start. Feeling pretty about it, I think, everybody. But
I mean, that's probably better than we thought we'd feel when Mourinho got hired. So, like, progress.
I really I find myself clinging desperately to that end of the restart kind of stretch where we looked like we had a plan and it was working and it was good. Well, and I can see how this could work. As pessimistic I am about Jose and everything, like, the players are still good. If we can get them functioning in any kind of workable system, like, they should be good enough. But
you think about this team, like, look at this team and just put in, like, backup striker X, like, replacement level backup striker. Give us a little bit of depth there. And it's like, and if you assume for the sake of argument that Mourinho's got to use Ndombele, like, not a bad team. Like, it's a decently constructed team with some threatening attackers and a midfield that makes some level of sense. It's not insane to think they could be good. And I think what's so frustrating to me about us playing all these games at once, and I know that it's worth remembering we're not the only team that's playing a lot of games at once, even though our Europa League thing complicates everything more than it does for a lot of teams. But it just, what worries me is we're going to get behind the eight ball where we just can't get right again. And we're going to be in this situation where, like, oh, well, we're just so tired or we're playing so many games. So we either have to rest people or people are hurt. And we just can't get out from under that. And, you know, if we just didn't have maybe this kind of fixture congestion, things would be a lot better. We would be able to sort of capitalize on this. And that's what worries me.
Yeah, I think that's feels premature. I think you're right that that's a concern. But right now we have a whole blank canvas of a season in front of us. And we're about to beat the shit out of Everton. And it's going to be awesome. And we're going to come
look
back
at this optimist. Look at this optimist.
And we're going to be like, wow, look at us go.
Hashtag Ben backs Jose. There you go.
Can't wait to podcast after our 3-1 loss to Everton.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I'm absolutely thinking that. No, but the question is, will they just beat us, or will we almost score 3 goals, have one called off due to some bullshit VAR stuff, and then, like, have a player unfairly sent off after that before we collapse? That'll be the real question.
I mean, yeah, whatever is the most hilarious and embarrassing way to lose, that's the one we'll do.
Guys.
Well, on that note,
it's too early for this. You're in mid-season form already.
Hey, you know, look, we had a long preseason. We did like a 2-hour show about Pochettino. I am in absolutely mid-season form. I am ready to go.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap things up. Ben, do you have any final thoughts for the listeners?
3-0 Spurs. Harry Kane gets his first hat trick of the season. It's going to be great.
Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs.
Brian, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I don't think we'll do as well as Ben thinks we will. So that's my only thought. I'm not going to make a prediction. It's not going to be what Ben said. That's my prediction. And you can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock. And that is Brian with a Y.
You can find me on Twitter at Skipjack0079. And you can find our podcast at WDR, as in Wheeler Dealer Radio, WDR Podcast on Twitter. So for Ben, for Brian, and of course for Brett Rainbow, get ready for that season. Come on, you Spurs.